everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Today is January 5th, 2019. We're here live for the next 2 hours, and we have so much going on. I'm beside myself. So here, I'm going to try and put it all in order so you can make sense of it. Get your note-taking materials ready. And first of all, before I start the show, I just want you to know, everybody who's a common listener to the program knows already what I'm about to say. But for you new people, CEFCO. Hilltop CEFCO here in Cameron. I get my premium coffee from Hilltop CEFCO. It tastes the same all the time. That's why I like it. So check them out. They also got a special I've been promoting for a long time now. It's you buy one 20-ounce soda, and the second one is only a dollar. We all know that prices have gone up, so that's a great way to save some money on your second soda. We're simulcasting here, right here on KMIL 105.1 FM, The Ranch, and out of Rockdale at KRXT 98.5 FM. Go to the prospective websites if you don't get a good clear station. You can listen to us streaming live there on those channels. Also, if you want to be part of the show, you can contact us at 254-697-6633 right here in the studio, or you can give me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we have lots of social media here that you can be part of. We've got the YouTube channel, Aaron's Gun Shop YouTube channel. You really need to subscribe to that. We've got lots of great video, information, product spotlights, interviews, the attorney segments, the whole works. Just a lot of good stuff that you can glean information off of. So you want to make sure you're a subscriber to that. You want to follow us on Instagram and definitely like us on Facebook. And on the Facebook page today, I've got a picture of me holding the product spotlight. I'll get to that in a second. So you might want to go to aaronsgunshop.com, go to the Facebook page and see what I'm talking about there. Let me give you an idea of what's coming up on today's show. We've got true stories of self-defense from the American Rifleman's The Armed Citizens column. We're going to learn what to do and what not to do in situations like these. So be prepared to listen, memorize, take notes, do what it takes to survive, stay alive. Today's License to Carry segment with Super Attorney Rick Dodd will go over new laws that Washington State has implemented and what it means, and is there any chance for that happening in the great state of Texas? We're going to be going all over the place on this one. I saw an article raise my eyebrow. I've got some friends who live up in the state there, and they're telling me certain things. I'm trying to confirm it, but it stinks and smells, and we're going to talk about that. Now, this week's Tactical Snacking segment with the delicious Janae Goodman is going to be a replay of Simple Soups being chilly like it's been. This is going to be a great listen, so stand by for that one. Then at 11, the voice of law enforcement, retired police chief Randy Dixon, the connoisseur of common sense, the pontificator of practicality, and the epitome of encyclopedia, and all-around good guy, Randy Dixon, is the voice of law enforcement. Today's product spotlight, sponsored by ANC Firearms, is the Norinco Model 213 Tokarev and 9mm. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want a workhorse of a pistol on the cheap, this is a great gun for that. Now, like I said, go to the Facebook page or the Instagram, Aaron's Gun Shop, and check out the picture of me holding it there. You'll see what it looks like. It's got the Browning 1911 remnants, and it's just a workhorse of a gun. ANC Firearms has it there for a great price. So check it out. We'll be talking about it about 11:20 or so. My special guest today is Bill Whitmire. Not only is he your host for Bleacher Bum Radio that plays before this show, but he's also the Milam County Republican Party chairman. So he's going to be on at around 11:30, and we're going to be talking a little bit of politics, and it's going to be primarily about Trump, the pros and cons. Just want to give an attitude as to what's going on there. So we'll be talking about that, and I'm getting grunts and groans in the studio as I speak.
That's because you and he would be the real fair commentators about that.
Okay, yeah. Well, no, I'm reading opinion pieces that are showing the pros and cons, which was interesting to me, especially who wrote them. So I'm surprised. The person shows the accomplishments but also states the things that are screwing them up. And what I liked about it was I don't want to be one of those guys who just – see somebody in a certain light. I want to see the truth.
I agree with that. And of course, I agree that he's done a lot of good and some other things too.
Yeah. So. Yeah, but the I'm cutting into my 11:30 segment. Sorry. But listen up, check it out, and I think you'll like it.
Yeah.
All right. Luke, let's take a break. And when we come back, we're going to do the stories of self-defense, and then we'll give you my opinion piece, and so we'll see you on the other side. One, absolutely. A little bit more is on the way. Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. We are going to be talking out of the Armed Citizens column from the American Rifleman. It's going to be the current issue, January issue 2019, page 10. If you got it, you can read along. Let's see what we can learn from these stories. Story number one. Florida law enforcement officers are looking for someone who allegedly stabbed a man multiple times before being shot in response. The armed citizen had noticed that a black pickup truck that was being driven erratically was following him. He pulled into a bank parking lot, but the truck followed. A man exited that vehicle and, armed with a knife, confronted his would-be victim. The citizen tried to hit the perpetrator or push him away and get into his car, but after he failed at the troublemaker, he was stabbed several times. The injured victim crawled into his vehicle and retrieved a handgun that he used to fire at the attacker. The perp jumped into his truck and with the woman behind the steering wheel, fled. It was unclear whether the bullet struck anyone. There's a lot in that story. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what we call situational awareness. We want to make sure we're aware of our surroundings, which this gentleman was. He noticed that somebody was following. He tried to dodge and pulled into a parking lot. I don't know if that was the greatest thing to do. But when this is happening, in my opinion, I would have been ready, as compared to being stabbed and then going to get my gun. I'd be ready to prevent the stabbing from happening. If somebody's doing that and following me, I'm going to be at the ready. So all I can say is this. Situational awareness doesn't just mean knowing what's happening. It's being ready to face whatever's going to happen from that point. So be prepared. Story number two. A neighbor at an apartment complex in Clarksville, Indiana, came to the aid of a mother and her young daughter who were being battered after the mom and her boyfriend had an argument that turned violent. When the armed citizen saw the man beating and kicking the woman, he grabbed his gun and told the assailant to stop. The victims moved to safety as the suspect lunged at their protector. The neighbor warned the attacker several times to stop or he'd shoot. Police said no charges would be filed in the fatal shooting. Okay, I don't know how to explain this any clearer. When you're assaulting somebody and somebody comes to save the day and has a firearm and tells you to stop, it's a pretty good chance if you don't stop, you're going to get shot. So that's protection of a third person. Sounds great. Guy did a great job. If something like that happens around you, I would hope that people who are prepared would step in to protect a third person as well. Okay, we're here to help each other out. Story number three. Children should never be put into positions where they have to choose between their parents, but one California teen found himself in that unbelievable spot and shot his father to protect his mother. The man, who had a high level of alcohol in his blood, according to the post-mortem test, had gotten into an argument with his wife and started violently choking her. Fearing that his father was going to kill his mother, the boy shot the man. The investigation is continuing, but detectives initially classified it as a defensive shooting. That's a tough one. Maybe a baseball bat? I don't know. Something? You don't want your parents to fight, so you shoot one to save the other? I wasn't there, I don't know. But if you felt it was important to do that, and that was the only way to do it, I guess we'll let him make that decision on that one. All right, fourth story. Home security systems do a good job of alerting you to intruders, but they do little to protect you. So an Albuquerque, New Mexico homeowner protected himself and his girlfriend using a gun to stop a man who broke into his home through the garage. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a big one right there. You got all these alarm systems, gadgets and monitors and TV screens and all these different things to tell you of a break-in. But when you're sleeping, if you're in your house and you're asleep, you may not be able to respond quickly. So although somebody breaks in and you're being alerted, are you ready to handle the situation? Because in the middle of the night when you're groggy-eyed and you're fumbling for a handgun or whatever it takes to defend yourself, if you haven't practiced, it can become extremely difficult. So although you got your security systems, be sure to go the extra step and learn how to handle yourself to respond to the alert. Okay, so there you got it. You got some stories, self-defense, two stories of self-defense, and we hopefully can learn off of those stories as to what to do and what not to do, God forbid, if it ever happens to us. I do have this one here, and I've got Super Attorney Rick Dodd in here. Maybe he can make a comment or two on it. Saw this in the paper. It says, man sentenced for stalking woman he previously shot. A Temple man who stalked a woman he shot 20 years ago was sentenced Friday to 15 years in prison. Jimmy Lee McVade, 61, violated a lifetime protective order his victim had against him and stalked her. He was convicted of stalking her. McVade was previously sentenced for 20 years in prison for shooting her. He wasn't supposed to have any contact with his victim, and he was ordered to stay 200 yards away from her. However, McVade stalked her at a bingo game. He pulled up behind her where she was parked and kept her from moving about for 5 minutes. The woman was afraid the whole time that he would shoot her again. Okay. Now, I brought this up to Rick, and I'm saying, Rick, piece of paper, it doesn't stop somebody who wants you.
Well, love is an awful powerful thing, isn't it?
It is.
I mean, the fact that she was afraid he was going to shoot her again, I don't blame her for being afraid of that.
Now, fortunately, it worked for 20 years, but, you know, if somebody's got a vendetta against you or they just change their mind, that piece of paper, that restraining order, is not going to do anything.
So well, beyond that, as a criminal, as a convicted felon, rather, he had no right to even possess a firearm.
That's right.
Yeah. So, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about constitutional right to possess a firearm, and that's one of the categories of people that our Supreme Court has said, yeah, it's okay if we ban that.
That's right. I understand that. Okay, let's stay on track here. Luke, go ahead, and we're going to play an opinion piece. It's lead, follow, or get out of the way. And Luke's doing a great job here, and we're going to be playing it in just a second.
Really?
Yeah, go ahead.
My thinking cap. And start this opinion piece with the heading. It goes, lead, follow, or get out of the way. Ladies and gentlemen, in any organized endeavor, there is always a leader. The leader, however, is not always in the leadership position. Leaders lead. They don't take up space. You may have a person occupying the position of leadership, but is far away from being an actual leader. Someone in the organization other than the so-called leader is actually leading. Leaders always lead unless they decide to follow. And these leaders follow only because they see a more powerful leader they are willing to follow. Leaders do one of three things. They lead, follow, or get out of the way of the true leader. If a leader has no one following him, then in actuality, he's only taking a walk by himself. A leader leads, encourages, directs, guides, corrects, and makes decisions that are easy and makes decisions that are hard. A leadership position can be a lonely position and takes an even stronger person to lead. A leader is born a leader, and time and experience makes him a better, stronger leader. A true leader is natural. A person cannot be trained to be a leader. He can only be trained to be a better leader. Look around you. Look at your leaders and look at who you work with. There's a good chance that one of your fellow workers, if not yourself, is the actual leader of the group. Leaders lead unless they choose not to. And if they choose not to, they follow. And if they don't follow, they get out of the way of the true leader. A leader, whether in power or not, who believes in the cause will not get in the way of success. The success of any endeavor is subject to the ability of the leader. The leaders lead. The rest follow to success or to the edge of a cliff. That is why it's so important to select good leaders in business, in church, in politics. Success depends on the leader. So ladies and gentlemen, if you're a leader, then lead. If you're a follower, then follow. If you're neither, then get the hell out of the way, because the train of success is not going to stop for you. And with that, Joel, let's take a break.
Next time you need heating and air conditioning or even duct cleaning, call Climate Control Air Conditioning and Heating in Rockdale. Routine maintenance, repairs, installation, or duct cleaning. Get the pros at Climate Control Air Conditioning and Heating. 512-446-4020. Stop by 1244 US 79 in Rockdale. They can service all brands of residential and commercial HVAC systems and are available 24 hours a day, including weekends and holidays. For the best, call Climate Control in Rockdale. 512-446-4020.
For sales, service, maintenance, and supplies for our motorcycles, ATV, Ford Trackers, and more, stop by Two Wheel Customs, located on Highway 53 in Zopchickville. Open Tuesday through Saturday. Two Wheel Customs offers the best in repairs and maintenance on any make, model, or size of motorcycle. If you're looking to buy or sell your unit, David Trojan and his crew can take all the hassle of paperwork and displaying your motorcycle. If you're looking to buy, Two Wheel Customs always has vehicles on display for purchase. In addition, you can find a store full of variant apparel, everything from boots to helmets, along with a great inventory of accessories for your motorcycle. Give Two Wheel Customs a call at area code 254-760-2250. That's 254-760-2250. Two Wheel Customs on Highway 53 in Zopchickville.
a trust as true as Texas. A friend with a helping hand. When you want to ensure the good things in life, trust Germania.
Is your insurance company taking too big a bite out of your apple? When you're shopping for property insurance, think about coverage, service, and price. Make sure you're getting the most for your money. When you compare apples to apples, you'll see that Germania Insurance delivers outstanding value. Competitive rates, flexible payment options, and discounts. Plus, Germania offers 24/7 customer claim service. Trusted by Texans since 1896. Don't give up service or sacrifice coverage. Compare apples to apples, then choose the outstanding value offered by Germania Insurance.
So when you want to ensure the good things in life, trust Germania.
Call 697-4683 for Sharon Ruback, representative of Ruback Insurance and Germania Farm Mutual Companies.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Petros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com.
Cabellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron focuses on cases involving personal injury litigation, including asbestos exposure and mesothelioma. At Cappellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm, you are never treated like a number. Cases are accepted on a contingency basis, so clients do not have to pay out of their pocket. Contact Cappellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron today. Call 888-MESO-FIRM.
Welcome, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Tons of respect going on here with Super Attorney Rick Dodd sitting to my left. Rick, how you doing, buddy?
Respect for you. I'm doing great. I'm about done with eating pecan pies and all the Christmas stuff. Did you have a good Christmas this year?
I had a fantastic Christmas. I didn't get any coal, but, you know, I heard you got some special things. Why don't you tell us what's going on with your Christmas holiday?
Oh, yeah. I've got a nephew. He and I used to go hunting and fishing a whole lot. We'd kill, you know, ducks and dove, and we'd catch fish out of the river and cook them right there on the bank, and he really appreciated all that. He got older and went off to school and got himself a degree in petroleum engineering and got hired by Shell and got sent down to South America. But he appreciates all the stuff he and I did together, so he always sends me a great Christmas present.
Okay, you got us waiting with bated breath here. What did he give you?
Well, I mean, this year he got sent me a live bird. It was a green bird. Had a yellow head and a little blue dot up there. And I tell you something about that bird, Matt. He was delicious. So my nephew calls me last week and he asked me if I got the bird. And I said, yeah, he was delicious. And he got upset about it. And it's like, well, you know, I didn't know why he got upset. He said, well, that bird was expensive. He cost a lot of money. And he was worth it because he could speak two languages. And I said, well, he should have said something.
All right, Ray.
It's a true story.
Amazing. Well, I'm glad you had a good Christmas, and I'm glad your stomach was full.
Yeah, man. It was a great Christmas.
Let's get to business here. I sent you a text about a headline I read and what I know to be in the news. And it's Washington State bans anyone under 21 from buying assault rifles. And I'm reading through the article and seeing what's going on. And what's the date? It says effective Starting today, young adults between the ages of 18 and 20 will have their rights to purchase semi-automatic rifles stripped away. Okay? So I want to talk about that. And there's a lot of other things.
Now, of course, just to make sure we understand, we're talking about Seattle, Washington here, not Washington, D.C.
Right.
And not the federal government. This is a state's rights issue.
State's rights.
Go ahead.
And it has to do with all the school shootings and all this kind of stuff. People were up in arms, quote unquote. Or
except for the 20-year-olds.
Okay, right. And what's happening is you could buy a long gun. Didn't matter if it was a what they call an assault rifle, a shotgun, or a rifle. Doesn't matter. You could buy it when you're 18 years of age. Okay, but now they're saying, no, we're going to jump it up to 21 for assault rifles, being like M4s, AKs, things of that nature. And so I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, you know, and one part of me says, you know, the maturity level, sure, but who am I to take away a right of somebody when they're at legal age at 18?
Well, your right is to vote for a legislator that you feel is or isn't going to do what
right.
you do or do not want.
And that's the problem. It was voted in through the process, so I'm stuck with it. However, which kind of makes me look at the people who are opposed against it. Why didn't we stand up and speak more about it and somehow get it where it wouldn't have this happen and people would have their rights when they're 18? But because it has happened, you got to obey the law. But I want to talk about it and see what Rick has to say when it comes to it constitutionally, if there's anything going wrong with it constitutionally, or can they do what they're doing because it is state rights. And so I'm all over the place here, Rick, because I don't know.
Well, I appreciate that, because there are arguments all over the place with regard to the Second Amendment in the first place. You know, how is it interpreted, and do we have an absolute constitutional right to carry guns? I think you had a segment on that a couple of weeks ago where we talked about that. So the Constitution is a document, and it says what it says, okay? So the trouble is that people read what it says and have different ideas about what it means.
Mm-hmm.
Even though the words are the same. So everybody talks about states' rights, and of course that's in the Constitution too. So allowing the state of Washington to make this ban is then sent up through the court system, because there are going to be people that challenge this law and organizations that challenge this law. So then it's going to eventually land in front of the Supreme Court. So we're going to talk a little bit about the Supreme Court of the United States insofar as how they might or might not deal with this issue.
Look, let me ask something real quick for clarity purposes for myself and for others. In the Constitution, in the Second Amendment, it says your rights to bear arms shall not be infringed. The state looks at it and says, okay, we're not going to infringe your right to own it. We're just going to tell you how you get to own it. Is that how the state right comes into play?
Right. Because, well, you know, and of course, you didn't read the whole Second Amendment. It talks about the militia. So, you know, there's interpretations that, you know, it's not an absolute right only if you're in the militia. So, the whether or not there's a constitutional ban on or ability for states to make that constitutional ban will be the question. Because the Supreme Court of the United States is not going to allow any one state to infringe on any minorities or, you know, some people who don't have the majority vote constitutional rights. So the question is where do you draw the line? Does an infant have the right to go buy guns? And right now we say no. So we have arbitrarily placed the line at 18 years of age. And some of the states, and not just Washington, but several states, and by the way, our president supports this law, wants to move it to 21. So what we look at when we're looking at laws and how they might conflict with some interpretations of the Constitution is whether or not the government's duties, whether or not what the government is trying to take care of has a relationship to the law. Some of the cases that we look at to figure that out, one of the seminal cases is the Craig case, and it had to do with alcohol. And it was a state that tried to say, well, we're going to allow people that are females under the age of 21, from 18 to 21, we're going to allow them to drink beer that is less than 3.2% alcohol, but we're not going to let males. And the reason is because males are somewhere around 20 times more likely to get arrested for DWIs, so they were trying to show that their purpose of the law was related to the law itself. And this was determined and primarily because of sex is a protected class, if you may, for discrimination. This was allowed to be, it was said to be unconstitutional because it unfairly used maleness as its factor. And even though males were 2% more likely to get caught with drunk driving in that age group, females were 0.18, the Supreme Court says, well, we don't want to use just that factor. So the correlation to the trait and the behavior was there, but there really wasn't a correlation with regard to how many miles the males might be driving, how many hours they behind the wheel, and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
So even though there was an attempt to correlate the law with the purpose of the government, it didn't pass muster. Now, with regard to shootings, what we have here is, for instance, in 2014, there were over 21,000 people under 21 who were shot by guns. And even though we don't have any FBI records about who was arrested, and back to those deaths, about 2,000 of those were homicides and 1,000 of those were suicides.
But those are people receiving the gunshots who were 21 or under.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Well, and homicides and suicides, right. But the suicides, of course, were those who had guns who shot themselves. And it kind of goes back to the concept of, well, when you're less than 21 years old, your thought patterns are not fully developed, your brain's not fully developed. I mean, we know that from neuroscience. And then you have these issues of, where I fit in society and where I'm going to be going, because it's an uncertain time of your life. So a big part of maturity comes somewhere in there, and we've arbitrarily set that at 21 years of old for drinking. But we still have 18 years old for voting. If you remember back in Vietnam, you know, the big mantra for all of us was, if we can go carry a gun around and kill other people in a war, we ought to be able to vote for those who make the decisions as to where we're going to go to war and how bad the war is going to be. So when we look at that, we could say the same thing here. It's like, well, if I can be drafted or if I can go to the Army and go somewhere and carry a long rifle around, why couldn't I go buy one?
And just to make a comment, this law in Washington State, I believe, has that implemented, where if you're a service member, it's under 21, you still can buy the weapon. So I don't want to make it look ugly.
I also think it has something where if you have a hunting license.
Maybe so, if you go through a hunter safety course or something like that.
Yeah,
so there's some exceptions.
You might beg the question, and of course I'm talking about the scrutiny here. You might beg the question, well, what if I'm a skeet shooter? Because I know kids who go to college and they're in the pistol club and the rifle club, and they win, you know, trophies and gold medals for being great shots. So wouldn't their constitutional rights be offended by this new law? And, you know, they're citizens, they can vote. So therefore, their constitutional right might be infringed. So what we go back to, though, when the Supreme Court looks at this, there are three areas that they can use, and one of them is the rational basis of that connection, the connection between what the government's trying to do and what the realities are, or the studies show. The rational basis is what's being used now. Now, Clarence Thomas has told us in a dissenting opinion some time back with regard to the Second Amendment that he felt like there should be a intermediate scrutiny. And then there are a whole lot of people who say there should be a strict scrutiny. And, of course, strict scrutiny being the highest level of scrutiny with regard to whether or not these laws can be found unconstitutional. Clarence Thomas says, well, at least there ought to be an intermediate scrutiny. Well, right now they're using a rational basis. So you look at this arbitrary setting for 18. You look at an arbitrary setting for 21. You look at a lot of arbitrary. Say, I mean, for instance, what if I wanted to buy a little atomic bomb. And, you know, right now I can get those things set up in a suitcase and I can carry them around. So therefore, I should be able to keep and bear that arm. And, you know, if I want to take it even a step further, why not get me a couple of Scud missiles and mount them on top of a semi and let me, you know, bear them that way? Well, I think most all of us, there may be a few dissenters that would think that's ridiculous. Right now, there are laws against certain guns. I can't carry around a shotgun that's less than a certain length. I can't carry around a fully automatic weapon unless I have special license. And all those laws have been determined to be constitutional because the scrutiny of the law allows them, because it complies with what the government's trying to do, and that is to protect the citizens. Because, you know, right now the FBI data shows that people who are 18 to 24 are disproportionately arrested for firearm-related crimes. In other words, they disproportionately have firearms and use them either for illegal purposes or they have an illegal firearm and therefore they're arrested. So you got to be looking at that sort of thing when you're talking about this rational basis of whether or not this law fits within our constitutional realm.
It gets very complex, Rick.
Well, it is, and you know, no case goes in front of the Supreme Court of the United States that is not very complex. Because the time it gets there, we've already gone through a federal judge who probably has many, many years in the experience in the law practice. It goes through the Circuit Court of Appeals, where nine judges look at it, and of course they all write their opinions. And if the Supreme Court of the United States sees that there's really no question for them to determine, in other words, that it's not very complex, they don't even look at it anymore. And our precedent makes us go back to those cases where the judge in the lower court or the appellate court makes decisions, say, well, you know, when we make an argument in front of a new judge, well, here is the law. So only the complex cases go to the U.S. Supreme Court. Otherwise, I mean, they're buried as it is, but otherwise it would just be unbelievable chaos.
You know, as much as I'm not into them increasing the age for one reason, I agree with it in another reason, but the bottom line always comes down to me on this, and like you're discussing, if it's constitutional or not. Does the state have the right to do that? And what you're doing and what you're explaining is that they do have the right to do that. And the people of that particular state have voted that way within that state. And it's almost like, you know, if you didn't like it, you should have stood up and said something a little bit louder or voted a little bit more.
Yeah, like my bird. You should have said something.
In two different languages. Okay, what else we got?
Well, and we do have advocates out there who will challenge this law and try to, you know, convince Judge Thomas and the rest of the folks up there that this is an unconstitutional law. So there will be firm law on it. Now, the problem is when you take a case like this that has pretty good connections with what the government's trying to do, protect the citizens, and you have a pretty good majority of the people who believe that this is a good idea, you have a president that believes that this is a good idea, you take this up to the Supreme Court and you get hammered. And suddenly your position no longer has any legal bearing. In other words, you just got shafted because you were so adamant that there's something wrong with this law. That's something that us lawyers have to look at all the time when we decide whether we're going to appeal a case up. Now, on the one hand, we have a duty to our client, of course. But in cases where you're looking at unconstitutional law, you got to make some decisions. And, you know, I've said all along that, you know, I'm a big hunter. I enjoy hunting. And I have lots of guns for hunting. But somewhere in there's going to be a tipping point, in my opinion, where the folks in America are going to say, enough is enough. You know, school shootings with military-type weapons. Again, you know, this has been found to be unconstitutional because of, you know, what is the definition of military-type weapons. But, of course, this little Washington State issue has some nice photos here of military-style weapons, and I think every single one of those would would fit the definition if you really were trying to define it. Like one justice on the Supreme Court says, well, I don't know the definition of porn, but I know it when I see it, right? So I know it when I see it. These are military-type weapons. And my point is that somewhere there will be a tipping point where my rights as a hunter are going to be infringed because people are going to vote to amend the Second Amendment. So again, this is my opinion, mm-hmm. Matt, and I know you probably have a different opinion about this, but somewhere we got to be smart about how we allow some regulations. And I don't know that making this 21 is a bad idea, okay? Because when you look at the statistics, to me, it's pretty clear that it fits the purpose of the government, and that is to protect our citizens. Not just me and you, but the person who's 18, 19, and 20. And they can go take this this little course where, you know, you or learn not to point the gun at anybody and learn that whenever you're going to shoot something that you've got a target. A lot of same stuff that you teach. It's not a complicated course. If they go do that, then they can buy these guns.
Rick, here's my rub on it. I don't think it has much to do with the type of firearm that it is. I really don't. Because you can get a 10-22 rifle and trick it up to make it look like one of these, and it does the same thing. My rub is we have a problem out there, and the problem is mental. We have a mental problem out there. Not only do we have a breakup of the families where people who have access to guns for whatever reason don't know how to handle it because they weren't trained growing up, but we've got a lot of mushheads out there who are depressed or are losers or whatever it is, or disgruntled or on drugs, whatever you want to call it. They have a mental deficiency of acting normal in society. And the other big factor, and you can't argue this, news agencies want ratings, and they promote it, and it continues to cycle because the people, these whack jobs, have a platform to show them. Ladies and gentlemen, we got a call. Let's see who we got on the line. Here we go. Welcome to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. You're on the air. Who are we talking to? Hello. All right, we'll get back to you in a second.
So we talked a little bit about some of this as far as the news people go and how you can use your platform, whatever platform that is, to be convincing.
Okay, I think we got it this time. Luke, go ahead, put them on. Welcome to the show. This is Matt. Who am I talking to?
Hey, Matt, this is Mark.
Hey,
I love the show today. It's so informative. It's brilliant. And somebody was just saying something about going and getting trained for the weapons when they make the purchase. But I wanted to say that, you know, more people are killed with cars every year, and they have to go and get licensed for this. People, the young people especially, have to go to driver's training and education. Well, what if we make it to where they need to go to a weapon safety course and actually have a certificate like they do a license to go and make that purchase? I think that's a really great idea. That way they've been properly trained, and then they can be monitored.
Well, Mark, I'll make my rebuttal to that, and that is, although it may be a good idea, I'll be contrary to my belief that then puts a requirement on a right. To get a gun, I got to go through a course. Now, don't get me wrong. You know how I think. Everybody needs to train with a weapon. But then I become a hypocrite. I become a hypocrite if I say, well, your constitutional right says you get to bear arms. You can go and buy your weapon, okay, as long as you're not a criminal or what other problems are. But before you can buy the gun, you have to take a course. It's different like on driving, because driving's not a right. Driving is a privilege. So on something like that, they could put more restrictions on it. That's my initial comment on it. Rick, I know you got a comment on it. Tell me what you think.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, you got to ask yourself, Mark, what is the difference between a law and a regulation? Well, there really is no difference, except the person who's saying it, he's going to say regulation if he doesn't like it, and the person who likes it is going to say it's a law. It's kind of like the spokesman here for the Second Amendment Foundation says they're going to strip their rights away as opposed to they're going to protect the public by banning 18, 19, 20-year-olds from buying these guns. So my point is that if we like the regulations, you're talking about the kill, people getting killed in car wrecks. We like the regulations where there is a certain speed limit on the highway. And we like it when we can drive as fast as is safe, but we don't like it when people break that law and pass us. If we took those regulations away, and while we're at it, go ahead and take, say, the regulation away for being a doctor. And while we're at it, let's go ahead and take the regulations away for being a mortician. And, man, just think all the jobs that we would create. And I could, set up a little doctor's shop next to the freeway and then put a mortician place next to it. And it would just be, it'd be great. We could just all make a bunch of money that way.
The other thing, too, I would say is we also have that First Amendment right. And that is, I've said this many a times, too, embarrass the person who is doing something stupid into submission. That's your right. You can show them and tell them and talk to them, and maybe embarrass them into submission to doing the right thing. But I don't know, Mark. I want everybody trained, and I want them to come to me to get the training. But I don't know. I think I'd become a hypocrite if I were to do that.
Well, to get
that's what I love about this show. I always learn something new, and it opens my mind. So thanks for being so damn informative and brilliant. You're spot on, and that's all I got. Thanks.
Thanks, Mark.
Got everybody.
So Mark, like I said, though, that little shooting course, the hunting license course that you have to take these days if you're going to get a license, fortunately for me, I was too old. But I went ahead and took it anyway so I could go to Colorado hunting. And, it was elementary to me because I had a dad who took me out with a gun. When I was like 8 years old, he gave me a single-shot .22. Well, I had a different upbringing. So there's a whole lot of kids out there that really don't know the business end of a gun and what it can do. And they've never seen an animal shot with, a .243 and the kind of hole it can. And so they have no appreciation. So even though it's an elementary hunting license course, it still teaches some basic safety stuff that a lot of kids just don't get at all unless they do that. So the concept of stopping this 18 to 21-year-old buying guns and allowing them to do that if they take this hunter safety course and get a hunting license, that's sounds to me like a pretty good idea, even though it may be unconstitutional.
It goes back and forth. There's so many different ways. It's like Mark's saying about the gun training. It's almost like a mandatory thing. You need to do that. The hunter safety. It sounds like a mandatory thing. You need to do that. But does that it doesn't restrict me from buying the gun, I guess. I don't know how that works. Everything's so intertwined and crazy. I can't keep up with it all. You can buy the gun to go hunting, but before you can go hunting, you got to take the course so you can use the gun. I don't know how that applies. But when it comes to buying the gun, if you can't get the gun without the safety course, then that's a restriction on your right. Right? So it's muddled. It's confusing. That's why I got you on, Rick.
Well, there's a lot of those regulations out there that really do protect us, and I appreciate almost all of them.
Look, it makes total sense for hunter safety. Total sense. Because I've seen people who've gone through hunter safety who still put and try to cross fences with a loaded weapon in the fire position. I mean, you just don't do stuff like that. Or they're shooting across highways and they're shooting across people's property lines and all this kind of stuff. So there are definite benefits to it. It's the same thing like Mark's saying with the training. I can see people who get guns who don't know what the heck they're doing with a firearm. And that's why I'm such a jerk almost in my class when it comes to safety. Like, if you're going to go carry this firearm out there, you've got to be responsible. I put them on a scale from 1 to 10. What's your mental thought process of carrying a weapon? Is it a 10 where I'm totally going to be doing this every day? Or is it a 1 I'm doing it for giggles because it makes it easier to buy a gun? And those people, I tell you, look, if you're going to get a gun because you think it's cool, walk out my door and here's your money back because I'm not training you. I don't play that game. That's my right. I can do that.
Yeah, when I take people hunting with me, I tell them there's three rules. Number three rule is, and if they break any one of these three rules, they don't get to go hunting, is you don't walk around with a bullet in the barrel. You don't go to camp with a bullet in the barrel. You take the bullet out of the barrel unless you're actually fixing to hunt, if you're still hunting, or actually fixing to shoot. The number two rule that would stop them from going hunting is if they shoot themselves.
Yeah, that's a good rule.
But number one rule, and the one that's absolutely required, is they don't shoot me. So if they break any of those rules, we don't go hunting.
Who was our vice president who did that? Cheney?
Dick Cheney. By the way, that's a pretty good movie, Vice. It's
Do they show that scene in there?
They do.
They do. I got to see that. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, man. Pointing in the wrong direction. I thought you were a bird. I thought I heard something. Okay. Hey, look, Rick, real quick. Got a couple minutes here. You were saying about the president. I got this article here. It says Trump administration moves to ban bump stocks. How can the president do that? Executive order?
Executive order, yeah. I mean, you know, it's the president has some pretty powerful administrative probability. In fact, this movie I just talked about, Vice, Dick Cheney was responsible for expanding those laws by using certain laws on the book to describe the open-ended ability of the president to do things. So the Trump administration, bravo for them for banning bump stocks. And, you know, the reason the president did it is because it's a very popular idea now. And he likes to be popular.
So. Here we go. All right. Hey, Rick, we're out of time. I got to
I hate ready it when it happens.
Why don't you wrap it up with whatever you want to say, tell everybody how they can get a hold of you, and give them some respect, would you?
Well, I'm available at respectforyou.com, and my job is to make sure that you get respect if you've been injured or hurt by someone else's foolishness and ignorance and rush for profits. We do a lot of work with regard to corporate greed, and people are out there all the time getting hurt, injured, and basically screwed. Harmed, I think, is a good word. They get harmed by other people not doing what they're supposed to do, like walk around with a bullet out of their gun. I've actually represented people who've been shot a few times by other stupid people, and it happens. You know, there's no such thing as an accident, though. There's always a reason for some of these traumas. There's always a reason. You just got to dig for it, and of course, that's my job. So you can contact me by coming down to the office here in Cameron or in Temple or in Austin or in Conroe, and I got some really great lawyers working with me. We've been Capilino, Dodd & Krebs since 1992, and I've been practicing for 38 years. So somewhere in there, I've learned a couple of things, even though I still practice at it. Someday I'll get it right.
It's good to know. Rick, it's always a pleasure. Again, thank you enough for sponsoring the program. And until next week, I guess we're going to have Ross back.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm not sure, but if he's not here, maybe I can make it.
All right, sounds good. All right, Luke, let's take a break, and when we come back, we're going to have the delicious Jamaican.
No, actually, I can't make it. I'm going to go quail hunting next week.
Well, have fun. Maybe you can use one of those nice firearms you got. Okay, Luke, let's take a break. When we come back, delicious Janae Goodman. We're going to be talking Simple Soups.
Capilino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm focuses on cases involving asbestos exposure, mesothelioma, birth trauma, defective products, and injury and death resulting from car and truck wrecks. Call the tough, experienced injury attorneys at Capilino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm in Cameron. Call 888-MESO-FIRM or 254-697-4965.
Next time you need heating and air conditioning or even duct cleaning, call Climate Control Air Conditioning and Heating in Rockdale. Routine maintenance, repairs, installation, or duct cleaning. Get the pros at Climate Control Air Conditioning and Heating. 512-446-4020. Stop by 1244 US 79 in Rockdale. They can service all brands of residential and commercial HVAC systems and are available 24 hours a day, including weekends and holidays. For the best, call Climate Control in Rockdale. 512-446-4020.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who's been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Petros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. Aaron'sGunShop.com. Hi, everyone. Matt, your host from Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program here, and I'm very excited to tell you about our new sponsor, Liquor Depot, located in the Milam Plaza right next to Brookshire Brothers. As you know, I'm a bartender, and when I walk into Liquor Depot, I get excited looking at all the variations of wine, beer, and spirits. So if you're going to have a party, wedding, or business event, and you want to serve alcohol, Liquor Depot is the place to come to stock your bar and your icebox. Great prices, excellent selection, and lots of friendly help to get you what you need. There are lots of great enhanced gift ideas, too, for any occasion. Liquor Depot is open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and is located at 1604 West 4th. So stop in today and stock up or call Liquor Depot at 254-605-0766.
Hey there, my lovelies. I've got something special for you. I know how busy your schedule can get, so here's some simple soups to help you save time and money. And it's none of that canned condensed stuff. I'm Janae Goodman, and this is Tactical Snacking. Why bother with soups? Well, they're relatively easy to make and quite versatile in the ingredients you can use to make them. They easily complement a main dish or shine on their own as a centerpiece. I keep improvised soup on my back burner for those nights where I'm craving something warm and for those freezing nights. Some of you may know this as a dump soup. It's a great way to utilize any vegetables or meat proteins that need to be used pretty soon. Typically for this dish, I toss in shredded chicken or ground beef, fresh carrots, diced onions, potatoes, canned corn kernels, and a can of tomato sauce to add a layer of flavor to my broth. You can use whatever liquid broth suits your tastes. Once all your ingredients are lightly sauteed in your pot, add in your broth and bring your soup to a simmer. The simmer is the great secret to creating a top-notch soup. A simmer means your dish is just below boiling when heated, or when you see relatively low amounts of bubbles on the surface of your pot. Many people make the mistake of boiling the liquid, which actually leads to broken down vegetables and tougher proteins. Simmering allows the flavors to meld together, leaving you with a rich, bold flavor that really shines through. Make sure your dish also gets an occasional stir. This will discourage your vegetables and proteins from getting stuck to the bottom of your pot and scorching. If you're lacking a liquid broth for this or any other recipe, you can use bouillon flavor cubes and water. I've done this plenty of times to make a soup base. The cubes come in a variety of flavors, and they take up little room in your pantry, so they're pleasant to have on hand. Besides, you never know when they'll come in handy. Alex from Indiana sent in this bombshell recipe for easy Tex-Mex soup. All you need is chicken thighs, taco seasoning, a can of salsa, chicken broth, and corn and beans. Season your chicken thighs with your taco seasoning. Over medium-high heat, brown your chicken and add your salsa, broth, and corn. Over medium-high heat, brown the chicken in a bit of oil and add your salsa, broth, and corn and beans. Simmer until your chicken is tender and shred it with a fork. You can serve this one with tortilla chips or rice and top it with cheese or sour cream. I don't know how I could live without potato and leek soup. And here's a recipe so you don't have to. You'll need Idaho or russet potatoes, leek, onion, garlic, and chicken broth or a bouillon cube in water. Leeks can be very dirty, so make sure to rinse them in cool water after they've been sliced. Cut your potatoes into bite-sized chunks. Sauté them along with your chopped leek, onion, and garlic. Add your chicken stock or your bouillon cube and water. Simmer until the potatoes are soft and seasoned to taste. If you're feeling extra peckish, I recommend adding sausage to this one. If you're looking for a warm, sensational soup, but don't necessarily care for bulky vegetables and proteins, perhaps blended soups are something you should give a try. Thankfully for you, I've got plenty of them to give you. They're simple, yet bold in flavor. Take the classic tomato soup, for instance, which can be paired with a delicious grilled cheese sandwich, a comforting combination to bring back memories of your childhood. The greatest part is making your own takes just a few ingredients. All you need are canned whole tomatoes, chicken or vegetable stock, an onion and minced garlic. You can add sugar or cream to neutralize some of that natural acid from your tomatoes. You're welcome. Oh, and how about a roasted pumpkin or butternut squash pureed soup? All you need for that is roasted squash or pumpkin, sautéed onion and garlic, vegetable stock, and half and half or cream to finish it off with. Don't forget to add salt and pepper to suit your taste buds. Regardless of what ingredients and flavors you decide on, you have the choice to blend half or all of your soup in a food processor and pulse it in a blender. Reserving half of your soup will allow you to leave chunks, which adds a bit of texture. Need recipes or repeats of this or previous segments? Don't hesitate to email me at tacticalsnacking@yahoo.com. Tune in next week to know how to fend off a cold this season and what you can do if you're already dealing with one. Until then, stay hungry, my friends.
It is now time for the master of manners, the communicator of common sense, and the epitome of encyclopedia, Officer Randy Dixon, the voice of law enforcement.
Hey, good morning, everyone. I hope you're staying warm this morning. It started out really cold, but boy, it's a glorious day. It's going to be close to 70 degrees today. It'll be a great day to watch the Dallas Cowboys hopefully go on to the next step in the playoffs. Also, there is a Division II playoff game today. If you're in this North Dakota State, I know you all here in Texas really are interested in that. You know, I was looking around last week. We had some threats and some severe weather last week. You know, in recent years, Central Texas has not had to prepare for serious winter weather conditions at all. I think what they call it, global warming. Anyhow, winter weather, however, and more especially winter weather driving, is not just about snow and ice, folks. In recent weeks, we've had a number of days where record lows were followed by spring weather, such as today. At some point, however, we won't be so lucky, trust me. You know, here in Texas, if we get 1/90th of an inch of ice on the ground, it'll shut the state down. People down here just don't know how to drive, me included. And, you know, at some point, once again, we're not going to be so lucky. And individuals need to travel somewhere combined with an invoked degree of danger for the motoring public. So I thought I'd talk about that today, talk about, you know, some of the perils of, in the past, we talked about traveling when you're on vacation or things like that. But let's talk about just plain everyday commuting. What happens when you have to drive on ice and severe weather? You know, we all have needs to travel. That's just part of being in Texas. We don't have mass transit like you do in New York or Boston or some of those cities up there. So what I thought I'd do is we'll look at it as in the teasing that we've gone through in the last couple of weeks. You know, I think the weatherman, by the way, that's the only job that you can have, and you can be right 10% of the time and keep your job. Just a little joke there. But, you know, if you look at some of the things that they predicted last week that we'd be right on the fringe of icy weather. You went up to Brownwood, they were completely covered in ice and snow. You went up to toward Abilene, they had as much as 10 to 12 inches of snow in that area. One day, we're going to have it down here in our area, so you're going to know what to do. Once again, if we get a quarter of ice here in Texas, it becomes a skating rink for everyone. I don't know if you saw last week the TV, this week, of our friends up north in the Oklahoma area, that they showed vehicles on the Weather Channel that were spinning out of control. People just wouldn't listen. They wouldn't believe what was happening with ice on the road. So once again, it's my understanding that we need to try to pretend and practice that we're going to have something in the future. Heavy rain, cold weather, fog, all are considered a danger when it comes to driving and arriving at your destination safe and sound. The most common and safe way to operate during winter weather is to simply give yourself plenty of time to get to your destination and, above all, slow down. It is dangerous to think one can travel at the same speed during rain, sleet, or even snow as you can when the pavement's dry. Any police officer with any experience will tell you that for some reasons, many drivers just won't heed this advice. You know, we bawl every time we hear the phrase, turn around, don't drown. But every year, every single major rain event you see on TV where some law enforcement agency or some fire department somewhere is having to do either swift water rescues or having to pull people out of vehicles that they trusted. I know that this last week here in Milam County and in the Bell County area, rains caused many, many creeks to get out of their banks. It caused the Rogers Dam to break. It caused the Little River to exceed its banks by several feet. And unfortunately, people just think, well, it's not that deep. We'll go try to go through it. The rain this past week, I decided to drive up to Mother Nature State Park for the highway, I think it's 116, travels or goes across the Leon River there. Well, you get about 150 yards from the bridge, and the bridge is totally underwater. On a normal day, the water is 20 foot below that bridge. Mother Nature State Park was underwater. So did I try a chance of going through it? Absolutely not. When I was younger, I did that one time, that same area. Scared the bejesus out of me, to be honest with you. You know, trucks are king of the road in Texas, it seems. Many of our trucks, especially those that we got the big old four-wheel drive, think that we can do and we can go through everything. You look around many of our rural areas, it's the truck of choice of the four-wheel drive. You know, in my many years of driving with the exception of police vehicles, I've never owned a vehicle that did not have four-wheel drive. But there's an old saying, folks, four-wheel drive will get you there, but it won't keep you there. Basically, this means those of us who have owned four-wheel drives or relied on it in all weather and conditions have failed to understand that just having a four-wheel drive won't save you. It won't prevent your vehicle from sliding or skidding once you get into an overconfident situation. All vehicles can become a risk when overdriving your vehicle. And let's get away from the four-wheel drive. Many, many people now have the small economy cars, whether you've got a Honda Civic or if you've got a Kia Optima. They all sit very low to the ground. They're lightweight cars. That's what allows them to get such great gas mileage. You go through 2 inches of rushing water in one of those, you've only got another 2 inches before it's to the bottom of your vehicle. It'll sweep you off the roadway. So please, folks, use the old-fashioned saying, turn around, don't drown to heart. Don't think it's not going to happen to me. There's just too many incidences, and it not only puts the driver of that car in peril, but every time a police officer or a firefighter has to get out and go into rushing water, wade through the water to save you, they're putting their own lives at risk. Sure, I've heard many times, well, that's what they get paid to do. You know what? You're right. They do get paid to do that, but not near enough. Not near enough. There are a number of situations which arise which pose dangers to the driving public, and some of those can be heavy flooding and rain conditions that we talked about. You know, it only takes a few inches of rain flowing over a roadway to sweep the car off. I've witnessed too many drawings or too many drownings in the past where drivers simply did not take precautions and use the famous word, it'll be okay or it'll be all right. It just doesn't happen. Rushing water is deadly water. Also, winter driving can be hazardous and scary, especially in our southern regions where we don't get a lot of ice and snow. That makes us overconfident. And I know that none of you out there ever get overconfident with your vehicle, but unfortunately, when you've got, we don't have that much experience. You know, we always talk about how young people, especially first-time drivers that are in their early late teens, how that they just don't have the experience to handle situations. That's why they should stay off the cell phone. That's why they should stay off and not text and all this. You know what? It doesn't make any difference how old you are. Whether you're a teenager or you're someone that's up in years, if you're going to do something that's inherently dangerous, you have to pay the piper, so to speak. So please, folks, use common sense. You know, there are three P's of safe winter driving, to be honest with you. Prepare for your trip, protect yourself, and prevent crashes on the road. Maintain your car. Check your battery, tire spread, windshield wipers. Keep your windows clear. You know, have plenty of antifreeze and plenty of the no-freeze windshield washer in your windshield washer reservoir. Have on hand. Take with you. If you're going to travel somewhere and you're going into an area that is known to have bad weather, take a flashlight, take you some jumper cables or a jump box, take you some kind of abrasive material such as kitty litter, sand, etc., and take you some kind of warning devices. You know, they used to be, the people, almost everybody used to have a couple of flares they throw in their big car just in case they need it. Well, nowadays, you can, for a little bit of nothing, you can buy battery-operated flares that are much, much brighter, and they go, usually look like a warning light that you can put behind your car. You just throw them out on the ground. Even if a car runs over them, they've got ABS plastic, and it doesn't hurt them. Now, what are you going to do if you're going on a long trip? You know, it's after Christmas, and hopefully everybody has taken their trips they're going to. But we've got March coming up. That's when spring break takes place. And historically, many good old Texans about to go to New Mexico or go to Colorado skiing during the holidays. If you're going to take a long trip, take you along some kind of food or water, because you don't know what's going to happen when you get to that area. You may be snowbound and a road has been closed for hours. Make sure you've got extra medication with you and your cell phone. Have a cell phone battery pack backup is charged. You know, stay in your car if your car gets stopped or stalled. Don't overexert yourself and put some kind of markers, such as those warning lights I told you about, on your car. Plan your route and allow plenty of time to get where you're going. There is nothing, absolutely nothing, that is so pressing that it's gonna hurt. If you hurry, you're going to get hurt. Take your time. Also, if you're not going to have a cell phone or a smartphone that has GPS built into it, go down and invest in some kind of a cheap GPS system. Most people don't do that anymore because their cell phones. Most of our smartphones have those already built into them. Use them. Practice your cold weather driving techniques. You know, during the daytime, maybe rehearse what you would do or think what you would do. We've always said that if you start into a skid, steer toward the skid. Don't steer about against the skid. But when you're panicking and you're on ice or you're on snow and there's a mountain on one side and a drop off on the other, we don't think sometimes. You've got to prepare for things like that. Know what your brakes will do. Know if you've got anti-lock brakes that you need to pump those brakes or not pump those brakes. Also understand that stopping distance is much, much longer on water-covered or ice-covered roadways. Don't idle for a long time with the windows up or in a closed space. If you're stopped for a long time, and this is also true in the summertime, if you're stopped because of construction or something, crack your window a little bit. Many, many cars have small leaks of carbon monoxide that comes into them. Nothing worse than to fall asleep and not wake up. Buckle up and use child safety seats properly. You know, many of you know that I'm an investigator now for a large law firm. And one of the things that I do is I go out and I recreate accidents and I investigate accidents that have occurred. You would be surprised how many people do not and will not utilize the car seats for their younger children. They think they're too old for that. Folks, your child, yourself, you're safe in the car. You're safe if you're buckled in the car. If you're not, you're nothing more than a flying object inside that vehicle. I'm not going to talk about drugs and alcohol because everybody knows and has common sense about that. We see too many advertisements. We see too many things that happen bad from drugs and alcohol. So use your common sense. Once again, folks, slow down and decrease your driving distance. Watch for pedestrians walking on the road. And then the real most important killer is avoid and make sure that you can do everything you can to not get fatigued when you're driving. You know, if you've got smaller kids or younger kids, distraction, they're crying, are we going to get there yet? When are we going to get there, Dad? You know, your nerves get short. Take a nerve break once in a while. Pull over to the side of the road, stretch your legs, get out, kind of calm your nerves before you get back. Now, in Texas, we have plenty of foggy weather. Matter of fact, there was a crash that happened not too long ago on 436, and it was a foggy day, and a truck turned in front of another vehicle that I'm aware of, and unfortunately neither one of them saw each other because the fog was so thick. Get your headlights on, keep your headlights on, and slow down. Use your low beams, and if you're driving on a highway that is extremely foggy, don't pull over and stop because you don't know what's going to come up behind you. If you're going to pull over, pull off the roadway onto a side street. Turn your flashing lights on. In heavy rain conditions, pull over and wait out the rain from a safe vantage point. Being a little bit late is much better than not arriving at all. And last but not least, I'm going to say it one more time. If you see water over a roadway, don't try to chance it. Don't try to go through it. There's too much a chance that that water could either be too deep. And what if the bridge got washed out? What if there was holes in the bridge? I know that sounds far-fetched, but it could happen. Be safe, everybody. Use common sense. Try to drive where you know that you're going to arrive alive. That's the bottom, that's the most important thing. And then last thing I'm going to say today is a couple of things. Number one, it's been a great year. I hope y'all have a great 2019. This is the first show of the 2019 year. I hope everybody had a great, safe New Year's Eve. And, you know, we all talk about heroes and look at heroes and what heroes are. If any of you see a guy by the name of Mark Boyer, tell him thank you. He is one of my heroes in life. So everybody take care, be safe, and God bless you.
If you're planning a party for a wedding, birthday, anniversary, corporate event, or just to have fun, and you plan to serve alcohol, you need a bartender. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps Bartending Service is who you need to call. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps provides a complete portable bartending service. When you provide adult beverages to your guests, you want them served fast, correctly, and with flair. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps can do that for you. TABC certified, professional, and with a complete bar setup, Aaron's can help make your social event one to remember for a long time. Call Aaron's now at 254-482-0557 or email Aaron's at mail@aaronsnightcaps.com. Make Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps your first call and last call when you want a professional bartender for your next social or corporate event. Call 254-482-0557 or go to aaronsnightcaps.com.
And that's powerful stuff.
These days you can't afford to take care of contracting issues alone. You need someone who will be there to do what is best for you and your project. I'm Jason Donald, and that's what we do at EBCO Development. Take care of you and your construction project from start to finish. For quality new construction, remodel, and roofing services, call EBCO Development at 254-697-2186. And know that we will be there for you. EBCO Development. Let's see what we can build together.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who's been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Butros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Hi, everyone. Matt, your host from Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program here, and I'm very excited to tell you about our new sponsor, Liquor Depot, located in the Milam Plaza right next to Brookshire Brothers. As you know, I'm a bartender, And when I walk into Liquor Depot, I get excited looking at all the variations of wine, beer, and spirits. So if you're going to have a party, wedding, or business event, and you want to serve alcohol, Liquor Depot is the place to come to stock your bar and your icebox. Great prices, excellent selection, and lots of friendly help to get you what you need. There are lots of great enhanced gift ideas, too, for any occasion. Liquor Depot is open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and is located at 1604 West 4th. So stop in today and stock up or call Liquor Depot at 254-605-0766. Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cab Adventure Radio Program. It's January 5th, 2019, and we're having a good time on the show here. We're here now at our product spotlight, sponsored by ANC Firearms and Heidenhammer. Arch Kuntz, the owner, I've known him for years. Gosh, how many years have I known this guy? He is consistently nice and generous, and wants to do whatever he can to make your experience there at ANC Firearms a good one. They have, you know, pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammunition, reloading equipment, accessories, knives, and if they don't got it, they can get it for you. If as long as it's legal, they can get it for you. So what we're going to talk about today, if you go to aaronsgunshop.com and go to the Facebook page or the Instagram, you're going to see me holding a picture of today's product spotlight. It's going to be the Norinco Model 213 in 9mm. Now, this is a Tokarov type pistol, and this is a surplus gun, and they're converting a bunch of them. This gun is rock solid. Okay, let me show it to you in the video here. What's the first thing we do, everybody? Collective sigh. What do? We're going to check to make sure it's not loaded, right? Magazine is out. Slide to the rear. Chamber is checked. Weapon is clear. And there it is, right there. Okay, the Norinco 213. And it's got the aftermarket grips on it. Normally, it's just a slab of plastic as a grip, because the weapons that they were designed for, those people over there had a tendency to be smaller frames, smaller hands, so they needed to have a smaller grip for them to use it. Whereas compared to me, I got the mitt, the big palm. I need the big grip with the arch support in the back to keep the gun straight. Okay, so let me read to you here an article that I saw on guns.com talking about the Norinco Model 213 pistol. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you right up front, they're going to mention it to you here in the article a little bit. This is an incredible gun on the cheap. It's quality made in the sense of it'll last generations. It will do what it's meant to do. It's got a handsome design to it, and it won't let you down, and it's a good price. I think ANC's got it for $330. I mean, a rock-solid handgun like this, I'm showing it in the video, that shoots very accurately. And you're going to hear some articles say, well, you know, the accuracy was only 2.5 inches at 10 yards. That's the shooter, okay? I'll put him in the same freaking hole with this gun. Let me read to you this article now. Believe it or not, the TT-33 Tokarov and its descendants are actually some of the most prolific handguns in the world. These often inexpensive old handguns have a bit of a following in the USA due to their robust construction, reliability, and low price. What doesn't appeal to many of them is the 7.62 by 25 millimeter ammo it shoots. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to show you this. This handgun in the video is actually the 7.62 by 25. But because it looks identical to the 9 millimeter, I'm using it for the prop. But here's the ammo that it is. If you look at the ammo in the video, you'll notice that it's a little different design. So they've got this actual handgun I'm showing in the video. They've got it in 9 millimeter ANC Firearms. And I continue with the article. What doesn't appeal to many is the caliber I just mentioned. So what is one to do when they want a Tokarov as well as common ammo? The answer comes from China North Industries Corporation, or Norinco. The Model 213 is a copy of the Soviet TT-33 Tokarov pistol. Handling a Norinco 213 is essentially the same as a normal Tokarov with a few key differences. First off, it's chambered and it's 9 by 19 millimeter. Yes, we've heard of how the 7.62 by 25 millimeter cartridge can rip through armor, but the 9 by 19 is far more common. I'll tell you, ladies and gentlemen, they can get you the other one too. That cartridge I'm showing to you in the video, the 7.62 by 25, incredible. High velocity, my gosh, what it can do, but it's not common. So if you want the common ammo, you get the same quality of the handgun, but you get 9mm ammo. All right, back to the article. One of the reasons, this is the author speaking, I like the Takarov family of handguns is the feel of the gun. Browning from the 1911 and Browning 1903, Takarov really managed to copy the feel of the 1903. This was an excellent decision choice, as the Browning 1903 is a very comfortable handgun, and it is. I've got one of those too. In the field, that translates to an easy to handle and easy shooting handgun. The sights are basic in the extreme. The rear sight, I'm showing it to you in the video. The rear sight is a tall piece of blue steel with a U-notch. Can you see that U-notch? There it is, right there. I'm pointing the gun at me. The front blade is thick enough to easily see, and there it is, right there. The rear sight is also tall enough to use it against the side of a table. And what they're saying is, if you're injured and using a weak hand or something, you could actually use the rear sight to put up against an edge and push down on it to load your weapon. The handgun itself is finished in all blued steel, which is a rather attractive to me and to the author as well. Disassembly is simple and should be familiar to those who are 1911 aficionados. Is that how you say it, Bill?
Aficionados.
Thank you, sir. Bill Whitmire, he'll be on the show in just a minute. Accuracy is acceptable for a combat pistol around 2.5 inches at 10 yards with cheap blazer brass FMJs. Ladies and gentlemen, I've shot this handgun, and I've shot it in 9mm, and I can put them in the same hole. It has to do with the shooter. And I'll tell you why it's such a good, accurate shooter. It's the trigger. The trigger is a single-action trigger. And on this particular one, there's different types of triggers of single action. On this particular one, it's extremely short and moving, okay? Once again, the gun is empty. You just push it a little bit, and boom, it goes. As compared to a Glock that's a single action, you got a lot more pull to pull on the trigger, which can potentially cause the gun to dip down. Now, while Noriko firearms are no longer imported to the U.S., it's still fairly easy to get your hands on a Noriko 213. Chambered in 9x19, they were an inexpensive handgun when they were first imported, and they still are. As a range toy, it can't be beat. And ladies and gentlemen, I've got mine. I take it out in the field, and it's a great firearm to use for whatever. For those on a budget, the Noriko 213 could serve as a reliable home defense handgun. She's not the most refined handgun, but she certainly can't be beat for the price. So if you go to ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, give them a call at 254-983-4417. Tell them, hey, I just heard it on the radio that you got this 213, Noriko 213. And speak up, because all these guys over there, they're half deaf. Clint, Dennis, Mike, speak up over the phone so they can hear what you're saying. Tell them, hey, I just heard Matt on the radio talking about that Noriko model 213. I think it's $330. I'm telling you, it's a good deal. If you want a rock solid firearm that's going to last for generations, this is one of the ones to go for. Okay, you get the newfangled toys that, you know, with all the bells and whistles, something can break. This is meant for use in the field. It's combat proven. You can't beat it. That's why I love these types of guns. Governments spend millions of dollars to get weapons for their soldiers, and they put it through the test big time, and these are battle proven. You can't go wrong with these firearms, okay? So get yourself a decent firearm like that. Go to ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, 254-944-17. Tell me you heard it on the show here. Support the sponsors who support this show. Otherwise, the show goes off the air. And if there's any other sponsors out there or businesses who want to become part of this show, give me a call. Give me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com, and we can work something out for you as well. It'll truly be a benefit to you and the people who are listening. So, Luke, at the ready, let's take a break. And when we come back, I'm going to have my special guest, Bill Whitmire, and we're going to be talking some politics. See you on the other side.
Arch Coons, the owner of AMC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to AMC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. AMC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
You've been doing something with satisfied customers since 1984. You've been doing something right. I'm Jason Bonalek, and that's the story of EBCO Development, providing quality new construction, remodeling, and roofing with complete customer satisfaction. We have the knowledge and experience to get the job done right the first time. And are a proud member of the Better Business Bureau. Start your building project by calling EBCO Development at 254-697-2186. That's 254-697-2186.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who's been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Vitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com.
Power. Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Bold Engine, formerly Cameron's Heat Company, where friendly service and quality work stop it at 408 West Bank. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and Zero Turn Big Dog motors. Power through the summer with Cameron's Bold Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bank.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Again, it's January 5th, 2019, and we're having a great time here on the show. If you want to be part of the show, give us a call at 254-697-6633. I have my special guest here, Bill Whitmire. Bill Whitmire, as you are well aware, if you've been listening to the show or the station earlier this morning, is the host of the Bleacher Bum Radio. And Bill, thank you for coming on to the show. Why don't you say hi to everybody? And also, you're the Republican chairman.
For Milam County.
For Milam County. And tell people exactly what that is, along with what you're doing on the radio show.
Well, the Republican chairman and my Democrat counterpart, we kind of lead the party for the county. You're the one that's in charge of the candidates, making sure the candidates are all correctly registered and make sure they apply for office the correct way. And then you essentially run the primary and then help the county clerk run the general election so that everything's done.
That's a big responsibility, man.
It can be. I mean, it can be. You got to watch what you're doing and make sure you meet deadlines. I actually missed a deadline one time and we had to take the case all the way to the third court of appeals to get the candidate back on the ballot because I missed the deadline to put his name on the ballot.
Who was it in Florida? I think they missed the deadline and everybody was upset because they were still counting votes and because they forgot to get it under a deadline, they couldn't even use any of those votes.
That was over in the, I believe, West Palm Beach County.
Yeah, that's it. I forget what it was.
Director of Elections. So it's happened several times with her, as a matter of fact. And after this last election in November, she actually decided to retire.
Decided to retire instead of getting fired.
Right. And she was, I think she was the chief deputy during the 2000 election when they had so much trouble during the Bush v. Gore election.
Is it like not seen or is it conveniently forgotten? That's the question.
I think a little bit of both, you know. It's kind of like being an offensive lineman. Nobody really knows you did anything wrong until you get a penalty on you. So,
bring it in, man. Bring in that Bleacher Bum Radio. Okay. I saw some editorials.
Mm-hmm.
And They were from Mark Thiessen from the Washington Post. And you had a little blurb on that. Do you want to mention who that is? And
he was actually a worked for various conservative candidates. He was Rumsfeld's speechwriter, Department of Defense, Secretary of Defense Rumsfeld's speechwriter from 01 to 06. Then he helped President Bush during the 04 election and then went to work for him after Rumsfeld left the DOD and was a speechwriter for George W. Bush until 09. And then he went to work for the Washington Post, and he's a columnist there.
Okay, I didn't know any of this when it came to him. I was looking at Washington Post. I'm assuming it's a liberal newspaper, and you know, usually liberal papers want to trash Trump, the whole works. And I'm not here to praise Trump or take Trump down on this particular show. I just want to talk about Trump, and let me tell you why. I'm an American. You cut me, I bleed red, white, and blue. And here's why. Nothing matters to me with this country other than the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And here's why. With those two pillars in place and protected, it will allow everybody to do what they feel they want to do within the realms of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. My problem is when you start chipping away at the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, you start altering what this country was all about. So if we maintain the Constitution and Bill of Rights and you want to do some type of social program or whatever and it gets voted, and I said, that's fine. As long as it's within the parameters of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, that's cool. So when it comes to President Trump now, I look at President Trump, and let me tell you something. I'm from New York. I've lived in New York all my young life. I know Trump from when I was growing up. I've seen him on the news. I've watched his interviews with Oprah, the whole works. He's been consistent in his thought process. Now, he's a businessman, and he's going to make contributions to Democrats and Republicans because he wants to build buildings, okay? But when it comes to being American, he loves this country, and I believe he's doing what he can, and he's trying to get done his promises when he was getting elected as president, and he's chipping them off one by one. So when I saw these editorials, the one I saw here, and which one was first?
That one must
have been here.
Yeah.
Keeping promises. Basically, he gave a list of the things that Trump promised he would do if gotten elected, and then Mark Thiessen wrote down, okay, he got it done. And then on January 2nd, he wrote his Mark Thiessen once again wrote Trump's top 10 list for this last year. And then on the 4th of this year, he wrote the Trump's bottom 10. And on some of them, I agree. And on the top 10s, I totally agree. On the bottom 10s, I agree with some, but I say to myself, it doesn't really matter. And I'll explain why as we discuss it. So, Bill, with that setup,
yeah,
let's talk about this. I like Trump because he's accomplishing the job, and in my opinion, he's accomplishing the job to keep this country intact and protected. Do you want to go anywhere with this initially, and then we can start talking about these 10 lists?
I think he's taking a stand that a lot of other presidents haven't. They've said things that we're going to do this, we're going to do that. If you do this, we're going to do this. And regardless of whether they're Republican or Democrat, a lot of people like to talk about Obama and his line that he drew in Syria and didn't go to bat after the chemical weapons. Trump did that. But he also went to bat over North Korea. He's contrary to what people think, he has stood up at times to Putin. He's also kind of had some embarrassing moments with Putin, especially in Helsinki. Helsinki's one that comes to mind.
Right.
But he's made those decisions. Somebody said once a long time ago, the decisions aren't hard. It's following through with them. That's hard. And he's taking those easy decisions and he's following through. He's doing the hard part. He's following through with it. And some of it's been fairly painless and some of it's a little difficult at times.
The most freshest thing would be the wall. He's like,
yeah,
I'm standing firm. I'll take the mantle on shutting down the government. That's how strongly I believe in the security of this country. I made the promise I'm going to do it. I'm not going to back down. I'm going to do what it takes. That'd be a perfect example of what you just said.
Yeah, I mean, he's not been able to accomplish a couple of his promises. One was completely eradicating Obamacare, but the legislature stood in his way on that one. He couldn't, you know, he can't. The things that he's been able to do via presidential order, he's done. The things that he has to go through the legislature with, a lot of them he has done, and some of them he has not been able to. One that comes to mind is an opportunity program for inner cities, and it doesn't get any kind of recognition, but that was a bipartisan bill that passed both houses, and he signed into action. And it didn't get done. It was promised and didn't get done during the Obama administration. And it was promised and didn't get done during the W. Bush administration. But in just 2 years, you know, Trump has managed to get that push through. Mm-hmm. And that was a bipartisan bill. I mean, I think it passed both houses by like 80%. You know, and that has helped. It really has helped us. People don't think about it, but it has helped us. We have the lowest African-American unemployment rate that this country has ever had.
Ever.
And a lot of it people credit with the opportunity initiatives that were taken to help strengthen the inner city.
And I forget what the meeting was. He was with a bunch of the black leaders, and they were saying, we haven't had a president who's done more for the black community since Donald Trump. And let me tell you why I'm saying all this. It's because, now look, you've been in the military.
Mm-hmm.
Have you had a person in charge of you that you thought was a total jerk?
Yeah.
But he got the job done. You may not like him. You may not like his personality. He may be brash, but you have to respect this guy. He's getting the mission accomplished. Okay.
There were probably some people that thought that about me at various times.
I'm sure there's everybody thinks about that, about everybody. Okay. I know you could probably use my name with a capital D. Okay. figure it out. But I'm like, look, I'm mission oriented. I know I'm going to leave some dead bodies. I try to leave as few dead bodies as possible, but it's mission first. We'll get the mission accomplished first. And in my opinion, this country comes first before attitude.
Yeah. You know, you're exactly right. You look at things. He came in with the whole going to drain the swamp. He hasn't quite drained the swamp, but he's pulled the plug. And slowly started draining it and made things happen. Where he needed bipartisan support, he's gone out and gotten it. Where he didn't need it and he can do what needed to be done, he's gone and done it. And he's done it in a way that he's kind of, he's exposed some Republicans. He's also shielded some Republicans at the same time. But where he's needed bipartisan support, he's gotten it. You know, we just talked about the opportunity initiatives, and there were several others that were in there. There was criminal justice reform bill that he got passed through with strong bipartisan support. Sex trafficking. Obama talked about that for 8 years, accomplished nothing on the sex trafficking legislation, and within the first 2 years, Trump gets it done, and gets it done. I think it was ridiculous. It was like 96%. It's the first time that both houses, when it wasn't a judicial or political appointment, where they both agreed that heavily on something, and it was serious law that needed to be enacted, but was stymied the entire mm-hmm. Obama administration.
Now, look, I'm not naive either. I bet you Trump's at these meetings and he goes, "This is what I want. This is what I'm going to get. What does it take for you to do it? Let me see if I can do it." So these people say, look, I want this, I want that, I want this. He goes, and he puts it on a scale. He goes, you want that so I can get this? And I look at it and it's okay because it doesn't harm the country. It's a little thing you need, a little sugar. I bet you he's doing that. He's a businessman. He's making all these deals. But his general concept is this country needs borders. It needs to thrive. It needs to be secure. So look, times are ticking away. Let me do this. I got three editorials here. I'm going to scrap the first one because it's going to overlap on the second one. Okay, so we're going to get rid of that one. But what we got here, and this is compliments to the Temple Daily Telegram, but I got two editorials, the top 10 and the bottom 10, okay? If you want, why don't you go over the top 10, and we'll talk about the top 10s, and then we'll go over the bottom 10s, and we'll discuss it. Because I was telling everybody here in the station, I'm not going to talk on the radio like Trump's the next coming, okay? I want to talk. I think he's doing a great job, and he does some things that are awkward and bad. But as you'll see in the bottom 10, there's going to be a difference on how you look on how those bad things are. So let's start with the top 10 first.
Okay, the top 10. The 10th one was he secured releases of prisoners that have been languishing, say, for instance, in Iran. Several pastors that were sitting in jail. He's gotten the release of 19 of those that weren't able to be done before.
And I relate that to President Reagan. When Carter was in and we had our hostages, and Reagan goes, look, when I get in office, you better release those people because I'm not playing around. Trump did the same thing. Look, I'm the boss now. Here's how it's going to work. And they go, he means what he says.
And even Reagan said at the time, Carter worked hard, but he had never came in with an iron hand and said, if you don't do this, this is what's going to happen. And Reagan came in from day one and said, you're going to release them or we're going to make you release them. And they did.
If you're in sales, you're going to relate to what I'm about to say. You can talk to somebody all day long, but if they don't sign that dotted line, you didn't make a sale.
Yep.
There's some people who can talk the sale, and there's some people who make the sale.
Okay, so the forgotten Americans that everybody talked about, the manufacturing industry, and they're calling it the Trump boom. It's the first time in 23 years we've seen a manufacturing increase in the United States where we have now. The Americans without a high school diploma reached the lowest point ever here in the last few years. And Wall Street said that wages have risen by 3.1%. So,
and he was getting jobs coming in before he was even president.
They said if we'd have stayed on the same pace that we were on before, we would have had a glut of about 10% of skilled workers in this country. And now they're saying at the pace we're on right now, it's only going to be 3.1%. And that's with an increased number of manufacturing jobs being brought back to the U.S. So he's helped on the education side and on the manufacturing job side. He worked with Democrats and Republicans, as we talked about, on sex trafficking jobs, the right to try, to try new drugs, mm-hmm. to try new medical procedures. That had been stymied by both parties for a long time.
And I don't know why. Why would they do that if somebody's going to die? Why can't you try?
Big pharmaceuticals and the AMA. I mean, you know, the AMA was completely against Trump for various reasons, and that was one of them because he promised to allow those types of treatments, you know, organic treatments, non-medical treatments and stuff like that had been stopped before. He ushered in what they call the golden age in the CIA, but he's appointed a female as the director. Gina Haspel is the director of the CIA, and Elizabeth Kimber as the first woman to lead the clandestine operations. And anybody that's been in special warfare or any kind of intelligence, that's a huge deal because that's always been thought of as
a man's
man's club. In expanded domestic energy production. This is the first time America has ever been.
Let me make a comment on that too. Hold on, about the woman. I don't care who you are, and I've said this before. And I work with certain people that are women, and I go, at a drop of a hat, I will follow you because you are a true leader. Okay, I don't care who you are, white, black, Chinese, woman, man. I don't care if you know what you're doing and can get the job done and can treat your people right. I'll follow you wherever.
That's a great point. He pushed to expand domestic energy production, and we are for the first time an exporter country in the world in oil and gas, right? And somebody that works in the oil field as my actual job, it has made things so much easier to actually get the job done based on the restrictions that were put on us by the EPA and other organizations in the government. In the six months after the Singapore summit with North Korea, North Korea really has not done anything that they said they were going to do. And rather than keep the status quo as President Bush and President Obama did, President Trump has hammered down, put more sanctions on Pyongyang, trying to get Kim to come to the table again and actually do what he said he was going to do. He said he would dismantle his nuclear program. Hasn't done it. Said he would dismantle his rocket program. Hasn't done it. So Trump is just
I think he's playing the game, seeing if Trump will be just like those others.
Well, remember during the Clinton administration, they signed a treaty, mm-hmm. and Kim Jong-il said he would never produce any nuclear weapons. Mm-hmm. And here we are 20 years later, and everybody talks about how great a deal that was. It didn't do anything. And Trump has said, I'm not going to fall into that hole. We'll just keep putting sanctions on you till you can't breathe, and that's where they are.
And China's pretty much backing them up, too. I mean, China takes care of North Korea.
Well, they don't want, like, I mean, Kim Jong-il is a whack job. I mean, just there's no other way to put it. That guy's just whack job. I mean, killed his brother. He's killed everybody. Killed his uncle. I mean, he's just crazy. So, then number four, you got Syria and where the red line was on chemical warfare that Obama allowed the Syrians to jump over many times. They used chemical warfare twice, and both times Trump hammered them, and I mean hammered them hard. Even hammered their version of our Pentagon. It's leveled now.
Now, my brother Mark and I talked, what was it, last week about Syria, the withdrawal from Syria? I think we're going to hit on the bottom 10 here.
Yeah.
But did a fantastic job in Syria, but pulling out, I've got pros and cons. I want the boys and gals home because I don't want them in a meat grinder, but I also understand to keep us secure, there might be certain things that need to be done. So that's a debatable item.
Well, that's on the bottom 10. We'll talk because there's some things I'll throw in there, too. he continued a tough line on Moscow, and then the negative side of that is on the lower 10 list. But, you know, he withdrew from the immediate range nuclear forces treaty, which a lot of people have hammered him on, but that's really an unenforceable treaty, especially with the weapons that China, India, Pakistan, even Afghanistan now, that these countries have, that doesn't even help us at all. As a matter of fact, it hinders us in our defense against those countries. Shipped Javelin missiles to the Ukraine to help. Obama didn't really do anything to help Ukraine in their stance against Russia, and Trump has said, okay, we're going to help you out and force the Russians to deal with you on better terms. He pulled out of the Iranian deal that John Kerry and Barack Obama had set up, which was a completely unenforceable, useless agreement.
That's three radio shows right there.
Yeah, I mean, and they have looked it over, but I think one of the best things that he did was, personally for me, was said when he came into office, he said, I'm going to appoint Scalia-like justices to the Supreme Court. And he's done that twice now and strengthened the Supreme Court from a conservative standpoint to where now John Roberts is that swing vote. He's that Anthony Kennedy vote. And for a while, we had two of them because you didn't know where Roberts was going to end up. Mm-hmm. Now you've got four extremely strong conservatives, four liberals, one that might be a little all over the place, and then Roberts is kind of in the middle, but I think he leans a little farther right than what Kennedy did. And so it has strengthened and made the Supreme Court a much stronger place.
It's an extremely important thing because it basically goes back to what I was talking about, the two pillars of this country. That's the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. If you can maintain judges in there who look at those as quote-unquote precious gems that we don't want to jack with, and you make your decisions based on that as compared to personal opinion or sordid gain agendas, that's a good thing.
I think one that's not on here that probably should be on here, you might have to make it 11, was renegotiated NAFTA, because that was a complete disaster for the U.S., And since it's been renegotiated, things as far as the business world and manufacturing world, it has helped bring back manufacturing jobs to the U.S., made it easier for companies
that
to say,
that sucking sound is not so loud.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
That's a Ross Perot quote. All right. That was fantastic the way you itemized that down from that article. Why don't you do the Trump's bottom 10, and I'll make my comments as usual.
Okay. On the 10, some of these are going to sound a little childish, but the first one was, you know, he made a derogatory comment about blank hole countries, and probably used an expletive he may have thought twice he didn't want to use, but
he used the F word. Okay,
no, that was the S word. That was when
I
he said
was the F word.
No, it was when he said, you
okay,
know.
Okay.
And, but regardless, the press took offense to it. That was that one. As he has it here, number 9, his offensive tweets continue to undermine his presidency. You and I talked about this off the air.
Let's go back to 10 and 9 here.
Okay.
Okay. You and I, or anybody in this planet, will make comments about the reality of things. However, you put on a face because you want to try and work through it professionally, so on and so forth. But you make a comment and it's picked up. Everybody's thinking the same darn thing.
Yeah.
It's just because somebody said it, you're going to put it on him. That's what I call chicken S. Okay?
Yep.
Chicken S. You can't say it yourself. Somebody else says it, and you go, ooh, that was dirty. Well, shut up.
Yeah, and when you're in politics, you learn, you know, you may think this, but you're going to say this, and you just don't say it. Just don't say it. Sometimes it's easier just not to say it, and he's going to say it.
It's weak-minded people who get offended by stuff like that.
He's going to say it. Number 8 was this one I don't agree with at all. He said it's a misuse of power when he revoked the security clearance of former CIA Director John Brennan and then Jim Acosta's White House press pass. Well,
I totally agree, except for his last comment. Go ahead.
John Brennan, the left loves him. He's an idiot. When I had a TS clearance, a top secret clearance when I was in the military, we got what we called the early bird, which gave us all the articles that were in the popular press and then gave us the classified versions of it. And John Brennan missed the mark. He was White House security director for a while. He missed the mark every time, not just once or twice, but every time. He had no idea what was really going on in the Spratly Islands. And if you don't know where the Spratlys are, Google them. The Chinese have taken and dredged up small reefs and made them into islands where you could land a 747 on it for the purpose of claiming the Spratlys, which is an oil-rich area between Vietnam, China, the Philippines, and that area.
And that expands your international borders out, the waters.
Exactly.
But at the bottom, what he's saying here in this article is basically that that was bad because now they have a platform to go on.
Right. I got to run through these. We're running. He drove away suburban voters. I think the mamby-pambies he might have driven away, but they will come back when we see who the Democrats nominate in 2 years. He didn't handle John McCain the best that he could have.
I would agree with that. Yeah.
I think he could have handled that a little better. His handling, a lot of people talk about his handling of Jamal Khashoggi's murder. He was the one that was murdered in the Saudi Arabian embassy in Turkey. I don't think we know enough about that to say he handled it wrong. And I think he's taking the approach of the investigation is still on hand. Let's wait and see what happens. And even then, is it our place as a country to do anything about that?
I think a lot of it goes back to what we just said before about how, you know, you and I in a private conversation can say, hey, look, that was bad, but we still got to maintain relationships, because if you look at it and put it on the scale, we just can't disconnect with this country. I mean, that's the country that opposes or is opposite of the people we're fighting against. So we got to maintain a relationship with them somehow. Yeah, it was bad, but Figure it out in a confidential manner.
His news conference with Vladimir Putin in Helsinki, we already talked about that. That was kind of not handled very well. Now, those are all what they call later on style things, you know, that there was no real policy to that. The last three are kind of policy issues. His policy, now they say in the article, his policy to separate migrant children from their families at the southern border wasn't his policy. That was an Obama policy that was put into effect 8 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I don't think, I think he was so busy with everything else that they didn't really notice that, because it had been such a long, ongoing policy that no one really took the time to say, hey, we might have some problems here.
I concur with you.
Until that came up. Number two, his planned withdrawal of U.S. forces from Afghanistan. And then number one is his planned pullout from Syria.
Now, look, Afghanistan, I think, is a freaking meat grinder, okay?
Yeah.
I think we shouldn't have been there in the first place.
Well, the English wasted 12 years there. The Russians wasted 8 years there. And we've been there since 2001.
Let me take that back. I meant to say Iraq, we shouldn't have been there in the first place. Afghanistan,
I agree with that.
I understand the initial concept of it. I get that.
But one of the things,
17 years or 18, whatever long it's been now, Mark and I, and we had a discussion about this, about why can't this country, this greatest country in the world, get the job done? It's all tribal. There's just no way you're going to do it.
You can't. When they went into Iraq, I took a lot of flack at the time because I didn't agree with it. We just have a series of body bags and we destabilized the entire region. And that's exactly what happened. We didn't like Saddam Hussein, but at the time, he really wasn't bothering anybody but his own people. Let them handle it. When we went in there, how many young men died over there in Iraq for a situation now that's completely unstable? And there's just no control, and it's scarier now than it was 16 years ago when we went in.
You probably will agree with what I'm about to say. If not, make your comment. When you put on a uniform and you die to protect your country, it's honorable.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want somebody putting on a uniform to go in there to serve their country, and they get chewed up in a meat grinder for political gain, sordid gain, money, or whatever. And it looks and it appears that these ongoing wars is just that. So when Trump says he wants to pull them out, I truly believe it's because it's like, what are we doing? What's the mission? What's the end result? We're just in there. It's as though the military-industrial complex, like Eisenhower said, is a big thing. We've never had it before. And it can be extremely dangerous if you don't put a leash on it. And it seems as though the leash is off, the muzzle is off, and everybody's making a bunch of money. And if you pull out of combat zones, you're going to lose defense contractors are going to lose a lot of money. And they have a lot of say and sway when it comes to making policy, because they can say, hey, listen, Senator, here, we'll take care of this. We'll do that. You know, just vote this way. Yep. It's very, very easy to have that happen.
There's a lot of money that feeds through those PACs to those politicians via those sort of companies. And the longer they get to stay in those countries, the more money can go to those PACs and go to those politicians.
And Eisenhower also said we need an informed citizenry to make sure that it doesn't get dangerous like it has and is at this point. People are reading bullet points. They're listening to
They look at their Facebook feeds, their Twitter feeds, they look at their Snapchats, and that's how they make their political decisions.
And if they do see a headline, they don't study the headline as to where it comes from, because I just read a headline, and I can't remember what it was. I just remember my reaction to it. There was a comment made, and they only put the headline of the first part of the comment, not the second part, because the second part will totally make you think different from reading the first part. But they want to sell papers, they want to sell advertising, they want to sell all this kind of stuff. So if you want to know the truth, you got to study. You got to look at different media outlets. You got to become aware of your surroundings. You got to know what's going on. You got to pay attention. You got to wake up.
Okay. You got to educate yourself.
There you go. All right, Bill, we're about to finish up here. You got anything you want to promote? Promote your show, man.
Yeah, listen up. At 7 o'clock in the morning on Saturday mornings, the Bleacher Bum Radio and myself and Coach Kenny Driscoll will be covering all the Cameron Yeoman basketball games for the rest of the season. You can tune in Tuesday night at 6 o'clock, and we'll have the tip-off for the Lady Yeoman basketball game.
Fantastic. Everybody, it's been a pleasure. Until next week, keep your powder dry, and God bless.